Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you,
Lord. In my mind, in my lips, and in my heart. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you know me, then you will also know my Father. From now on you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to Jesus, "Master, show us the Father, that will be enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you for so long a time and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own. The Father who dwells in me is doing his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or else believe because of the works themselves. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do, and will do greater ones than these, because I am going to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything of me in my name, I will do it." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
We have in today's first reading the conclusion of the dramatic first visit of Saints Paul and Barnabas to Antioch in Pisidia, that town at the top of a very steep mountain in Galatia. On Thursday and Friday, we heard the first two parts of that sermon. And in it, St. Paul, understanding the context of the Jews, described all of their hopes for a Savior, and that the Savior had come in the person of Jesus. But nevertheless, the people rejected him. But God didn't stop there. God raised him from the dead to give every single one of us another chance. But then he said to everybody, now's the chance. Now's the time to choose to be with Jesus. Unlike your ancestors who murdered him, choose now to embrace him. And what do we get? We get that choice lived out in the immediate reaction after that sermon. They said, "Come back the following Sabbath. We want to hear you again. Continue with it." And as they're preparing to come back, the whole city gathered, not just the Jews in Antioch of Pisidia, but all the Gentiles. And when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy, and with violent abuse contradicted what Paul said. They didn't want Jesus to save the human race. They wanted the Jews to be saved and everybody else to be straw for the fires of hell. That was the way the rabbis in the ancient world used to look at the Gentiles. They didn't want a Savior for everyone. They wanted a few to be saved and the whole rest to perish, which was obviously totally against what Jesus wanted, who came into the world so that we might not perish but might have eternal life. And that's when Paul recognized that they were not going to accept what he was bringing. Jesus had talked very much in the Gospel about the indefectible seed, but that there were four types of soil. And the hardened soil, the thorny soil, the rocky soil wouldn't really embrace the seed of the Word. He had talked about the wheat and the weeds. The wheat would bear fruit, the weeds wouldn't. He talked about the fishing, in which some of the fish would just have to be thrown back because they weren't good, even though they'd be caught up in this big net. That was the reality. And unfortunately, here in Antioch and Pisidia, most of the Jews rejected what Isaiah, what Jeremiah, what Ezekiel, and what Daniel had prophesied. That God's wisdom would not just be restricted to the Jews, but be brought to all the nations. And that's when Paul said, "It was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first, but since you reject it and condemn yourself as unworthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles." Then quoting Isaiah, "For the Lord commanded us, 'I have made you a light to the Gentiles, that you may be an instrument of salvation to the ends of the earth.'" So you have two different reactions there. The Gentiles are psyched that the gospel's being brought to them, and the Jews are upset that God actually loves other people. And so even though Paul and Barnabas were expelled from their territory, they shook the dust from their feet in protest and went on to Iconium, one of those other Galatian towns. And the disciples were filled with joy in the Holy Spirit. You know, it might have been that the disciples would have been ticked. Paul and Barnabas were just run out of town. But they knew what an incredible treasure they had received through Paul and Barnabas. So they were not going to grab onto him forever. They were going to rejoice at the gift of salvation, and they were going to continue to live by the faith there. They're not going to be overly dependent on Paul and Barnabas. They were going to grow, and they were going to turn to the Lord. There are great lessons there for all of us. The Word of God has been proclaimed to us, but we're called to live that Word of God. We're called to become more and more Christian. And that's always a challenge. It's a time where we need regularly to be converted, regularly to grow. And sometimes we Catholics don't really want to embrace others. If this parish in 5 years were dominated by 95% Hispanic American immigrants, would we all be psyched? Would we say, okay, now there are 4 masses here, 3 are in Spanish, 1 are in English. Are you going to be happy? Because people are coming to the church, are we going to say, this isn't my parish anymore? Happens with Catholics. Word of God's been proclaimed first to us, but we've got to continue to grow, and we've got to rejoice when that word spreads and more and more and more people come. And a lot of the times we're no better than the Jews in Antioch of Pisidia. We don't really want God's great gifts to extend to others because we want to grasp onto them in a sense selfishly. And that's what impacts our proclaiming the gospel or not. When we receive that word, do we look at it as the greatest gift that we want everybody to have? Because if that's the way we look at it, then we will be knocking on people's doors, picking up phones, sending emails, sending Facebook texts. We'll be spreading the faith as much as we can. But if we look at it as just something for us, and a whole bunch of other people are just going to go to hell, then we're not going to want to spread the faith. We're going to sit on the sidelines and wag fingers at others and say, woe are you. That's the dynamism that's occurring. If we're really going to be growing in faith and becoming the types of disciples and apostles the Lord wants, then we have to grasp what Jesus says in the gospel, which are part of his ordination instructions to the apostles on Holy Thursday. Yesterday, we recall that Jesus summarized everything by saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We're going to hear that gospel tomorrow, too, at the Sunday Masses. And if we're truly a disciple of Jesus, who is the way, we're going to be following him along that way. If we're really a disciple of him who calls himself the truth incarnate, then we're going to believe what he teaches us, and that we're going to hunger to get to know his truth more and better. If he calls himself the life, we'll trade our earthly life here for the divine life that he will give us, and we will seek to live off the life he imparts, that'll be the true principle of our getting out of bed in the morning. And that are expectatiously going to bed the night before looking for the good of the morrow. That's what Jesus says. In order to come to the Father's house, in order to get to heaven, there's only one way. It's through him who is the way, the truth, and the life. And in today's continuing session, he says, when we really get to know Jesus, the way and the truth and the life, we begin to see the Father's face. Philip says, Master, show us the Father and that'll be enough. And Jesus upbraids him. Philip, have you not learned anything? The one who sees me sees the Father. That's the first way. If we wish to get to the Father's house, we see him through Jesus. Then Jesus says, if you don't believe me, do believe the works that I do. That it's Jesus who is constantly doing the works of the Father. Jesus wants to continue those works through us. The works of the Father, the works of the Father's overflowing love. Jesus said that the one who comes after me will do even greater works than these. Because Jesus and the Father will be working through us in order to bring glory to the Father and the Son. How powerful we are in the faith when we're prayerfully working together with God in all that we do. How we'll be able to improve the mood at our workplace, mood in our home, mood in our streets, mood in our parish, if only we open ourselves up to what the Lord wants to do. Jesus also talks about the words that he doesn't speak on his own, but he speaks only what he hears the Father saying. Are we listening to the Father's voice in Jesus, hanging on his every word, growing in love of that word in such a way that it takes on our flesh so that without even being able to help it, we're spreading that word to others? So many people were not Bible scholars, but they studied the Word of God in such a way that they just naturally speak it to others without anybody's sometimes knowing where it comes from. But because they've become so one with the Word, it influences the entire way they look at everything. That's what the Lord wants of us. When you read St. Thérèse Lisieux's Story of a Soul, she was not a theologian. She didn't even graduate from high school. But thousands of footnotes are in that book that she didn't write footnotes for. But she was just quoting sacred scripture all over the place without even knowing it, because it had become so much a part of her mentality, because she was listening attentively to the word. That's what the Lord is calling us. If we're embracing Jesus, if we're embracing his light, then we're going to be walking in his path. We're going to be hungering for his truth. We're going to be structuring our entire existence in the life that he gives. And he gives it through his face. He gives it through his works. He gives it through his words. And he gives it through his calling us to follow him all the way along this path. Today, as we come forward to the fulfillment of what he celebrated on Holy Thursday, we thank him for the gift of our call. But we ask him to make us his docile instruments, to bring his light to all the nations, even if we're going to be rejected. Just like Paul and Barnabas and Bernadette and Pascal Balion, whom the church celebrates today, all have done before us. What they did, we can do, not by our own strength, but by the power of him who promised that if we believe in him, we will do even greater works than he did. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.